Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Fiona Salter from SAC Consulting. Today I'm talking with William Rose from Midcool Farm about how they use digestate on their farm. Hi William, thank you for joining us today. If you just want to give us some background on your farm before we get started, that'd be great.
Hi Fiona, we're a mixed farm. We farm about 1300 hectares. We grow cereals and pulses and fatten about 800 cattle a year. We also grow a lot of silages to feed cattle and also to feed two anaerobic digestion plants that we're involved with. And the farm is primarily organic.
We've got you here today because you are involved in the digestate sector and using and producing for digestate, the ED plant, and using digestion on your farm. And just to get started, how did you first get involved in the sector?
It was because we were organic and we were growing an awful lot of grass in our rotation to help build fertility. And the usual way you try and get an income out of grass is to eat it with animals. And we did do that, but we had such a large area that we just felt that it was commercially unwise to expand what we were doing with livestock. And in thinking about that problem, we realized that actually we could perhaps build a big concrete cow called an anaerobic digester. And we could feed the silages to that. And that's what originally got us thinking about AD. So the first plant was built, which is a 1 megawatt gas to electric plant. An opportunity came to get an injection point elsewhere on the farm. And it was decided to go ahead and get involved in the building of a second plant, which is a 2.4 megawatt equivalent gas to grid plant. So that's how we got involved.
And do you feed into both of the plants?
Yeah, we operate one plant and feed it. And the other plant, we provide all the feedstock for it and take away all the digestate that's created. In total, the two plants require, it depends on what we're feeding, but they require about somewhere between 50 and 60,000 tons of feedstocks. And our feedstocks are grass silage, cereal, hybrid rye silage, farmyard manure, and we're also using some draft now.
And how much do you receive back in digestate from the plants? And is it sporadically throughout the year, or is it set points that you receive the digestate back?
Well, we kind of control when we get it ourselves because both plants are local to us. They're on our farm area. They nominally have 6 months storage, but actually it probably is barely the case that that's true. So we kind of decide when we're going to take it, and the big times for taking it would be in the spring, starting in late February, early March, to spread on crops as a early nitrogen application, all the way through until the end of summer, when you know we're spreading it on cereal crops to provide all the fertility they require.
Yeah.
And then we're spreading it onto grass after each cut to provide some fertility for the next cut. Mm-hmm. And then we would have another spreading splurge in late summer. Mm-hmm. And then we would stop and let things build back up again for the following spring.
Yeah. So do you store it on your land, or do you just receive it when required and let the plants store it?
The plants store it. Over the time we've been involved, we've built storage in strategic locations around the farm. So we have, between the two plants, they have about 20,000 cubic meters storage on the sites. And we have about another 15 or so thousand tons or cubic meter storage in different locations around the farm, so that we can haul material there when we're quiet and not busy. Mm-hmm. So that it's nearby to where it needs to be spread come spreading time.
And do you spread it yourselves, or do you get in contractors to do the spreading?
We spread it ourselves. We started out with two tankers, Samson tankers with dribble bars. And that was fine. But last year in the spring, we made a decision to trade in those tankers and buy instead a Vervat Trike XL self-propelled tanker, because it had massive tires in a trike formation. It also had, or has, two outrigger wheels, which make the width of the machine when it's in operation 5 meters, which makes it super stable. Mm-hmm. And it has an automatic tire inflation system, which massively reduces ground pressure so that we don't make you know, big marks in fields like we might have done before. And this tanker can either act as a dribble bar, or it can inject the digestate into the soil, which gets better utilization of the ammonia or nitrogen.
But you've had that for a year, did you say?
Had it for a year. This is our second season with it, and it's really changed what we can do. Where it's much faster because the massive tires absorb bumps as though they're not there, so you can travel faster in the field. And we kind of built up an infrastructure of nurse tanks and road tankers and fuel tankers to try and keep it going as much as possible, actually spreading slurry as opposed to traveling back and forward. We have also, using contractors, done some umbilical spreading, and that's got a place. But for us, the tankers, the way we favour at the moment.
Before you actually get the digestate on farm, you've said before that you do get analysed before coming on farm so you can utilise it to the best ability on your farm. How often do you get the digestate analysed? Because obviously it's coming from the plant that you know.
The first year or so, we were sampling every month. Mm-hmm. But what that evidenced was that the analysis didn't actually change very much. Mm-hmm. So we now just do it twice a year, because the previously having done it every month, we were not seeing much difference. So it just didn't seem much point in taking a sample every month. We hope, maybe not this season, but perhaps for next season, to potentially fit a NIR sensor onto the tanker so that it in real time will measure the nitrogen and the P and K. Mm-hmm. And we can choose to spread a rate of any one of those three things. So we could choose, for example, to spread 100 kilograms of available nitrogen. Mm-hmm. And the machine would then just automatically change the spreading rate to maintain that. I think that'll be the next development, perhaps next year.
It's quite exciting. My machine's coming on so much.
Our goal is to attempt to not buy any fertilizer at all going forward.
For your whole farm?
That's our goal.
Wow. Hence why the investment into all this amazing infrastructure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't achieved it yet, but that's the goal. Mm-hmm.
And have you always inspected the digestate when it comes onto the farm in the tankers?
I think that because we're involved in the plants as well, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of our fault if there's a problem with the digestate. So yeah, so we would know that there was an issue. We had an issue this year, for example, where on one plant the digestate was too thick and we really struggled to spread it, and we identified what the cause was, and that would happen again, but it was a problem. But I think maybe you asked that question more thinking of digestate that's been delivered to a farm that's maybe coming from for example a food waste AD plant. Mm-hmm. The digestates that come from food waste plants can be much more variable, and there's no particular motivation by the AD plant operator to make it a consistent, always the same product. And so I think if you're taking digestate from a food waste plant, then you would need to be much more vigilant about what's coming in, what's its plastic contamination like, mm-hmm. and what's its analysis. You'd have to be quite demanding. But if it's coming from a farm-based feedstock situation like ours, the material is much more consistent.
Yeah. Is it just your farm that receives the digestate from these plants, or is it a consortium?
Well, we grow the vast majority of the feedstocks ourselves, but we do have a couple of partners who work with us, and they on request they get as much digestate as they want. Mm-hmm. Well, within reason.
Yeah.
it's all spread locally. Everyone who works with us, they're either next door or very close to next door.
Yeah, because transporting it can be an additional cost.
Yeah. And of course, there are two different kinds of digestate. There's the liquid fraction and the solid fraction. Mm-hmm. Because both plants separate as much of the solids out as they can in order to keep the tanks liquid and also to provide more storage space. And that solid material, looks like compost or extremely fine, nicely made farmyard manure. And you can stack that in a field and spread it, at the appropriate time. Mm-hmm. That's better to move around because it's solid.
Yeah.
So if we're going a long way, we tend to try and use the solid stuff. If we're going a shorter way, we try and use the liquid stuff.
So just really making sense of it, using it appropriately, managing it. I suppose.
The liquid fraction tends to have more available nitrogen in it than the solid stuff, which tends to have more potassium in it, which is very useful.
And through your years of working with the digesti and ED plants, what do you think your the most important lessons learned that you have and you would want to pass on to somebody else who's wanting to get into the sector, positive and negative?
Well, I think the thing that you can't really get your head around until you try it is to spread it and to spread it well is challenging. You really got to have accurate spreading equipment, and you must at least have a dribble bar, if not some form of injection, because, well, I think spread plates are now banned anyway in the new regulations. But being able to spread it accurately, paying attention to its analysis, and actually spreading not by volume but by fertilizer need, that's really essential, because otherwise you just waste it. So that's the very first thing that you've got to try and get right. So you either have to, you know, buy an appropriate tanker or find a contractor with an appropriate tanker, or someone who can provide an umbilical service. And I guess then the next thing that kind of comes and bites you is it's just the logistics of moving it around and keeping the device that's spreading in the field spreading. Because when we first started, we thought, well, we'll just run back and forward to the AD plant with our tankers, and we'll just spread it that way, and that'll be great. But actually, if you do that, you end up spreading for 15% of the time, and then the other 85% of the time, you're driving along a road. And that's no way to get the best value out of a specialist spreading system. It needs to be in the field spreading. So we fairly quickly built and bought nurse tanks to put into the field, into which road tankers could then deposit their materials, so that the spreading tanker was never leaving the field. Just moving it around is something you have to give a lot of thought to, because it's a big deal. So in terms of challenging things that we learned, I suppose that was by far the biggest. In terms of positive, well, I suppose it really does help manage the fertility on an organic farm to have this kind of material available. Mm-hmm. And if you're wise about using it, it really has transformed our ability to grow, you know, bigger yields and more consistent crops. So it's been a big boon. And if we can achieve our objective of using no bought-in fertilizer whatsoever, even on the relatively small areas of conventional growing that we do, then particularly in the current climate, we would feel very satisfied about that.
Yeah. It was make well in your investment as well.
Yeah. And, you know, perhaps there'd be a few more pounds to buy slightly better quality whiskey.
Well, that's always a positive, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So looking into the future, you're talking about equipment and things that you're wanting to invest in. You see the digesti in the future of your business as like a critical component.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Very much so. We're actually in discussion with two or three different manufacturers about the sense and logistics of installing filtration equipment to remove about 65% of the water from the digestate and then separate the N, P and K fractions and actually then have an ability to massively reduce the cost of moving the stuff around and have a much more targeted way of adding nutrients to crops.
That's really interesting.
That's early stage, and the numbers are looking quite scary, but you've got to take a long-term view about these things.
It's not a short-term investment, it's a long-term investment that will hopefully pay.
Yeah, for sure. And of course, there's benefits to the ground, which we haven't talked about, which is that you're adding organic matter and you know, you improve the structure of your soils if you use the product the right way. And, you know, up here we've got fairly light soils, so anything organic we can add is a bonus. And I know a lot of people have had problems with things like earthworm death and this sort of thing using digestate in the early days, but those were problems that were caused by spreading at far too high rates. We don't do that, and we did do a bit of work with a colleague of yours actually a few years ago to look at the effect of adding digestate on soils, and we didn't find any negatives. We only found positives. We didn't find, you know, any added worm death or reduction of CO2 activity in the soil, and so on. Organic matters rose, so it was all good.
Yeah, I suppose just understanding what's in it and using it like you would anything else. If you get it analysed, you understand it and understand your soil and appropriately apply it.
Yeah, absolutely. Treat it as a fertiliser, not as a waste.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for asking me along. I hope that anyone listening to this can get some benefit from it and can save some money.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening today. If you'd like to find out any more information on using Digestate on farm, please download our Digestate Use on Scottish Farms, which can be found at www.sruc.ac.uk. Thank you.